This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This is a lineupmedia.fm production, and we're back.
Welcome back, everybody. New show, new week. New week, new show.
At New Everett, hopefully.
Yeah, last week I was a little off my game.
Yeah. We watched him have a really rough time last week. It was pretty painful.
I feel like I'm back on my game this week.
Well, let's hope.
I've got all the necessary barbiturates or whatever it takes in my brain to get me...
Barbiturates probably isn't the right
okay,
word.
Okay, well, 5-hour energy, I drank one of those to hopefully get me, you know, as they say. We listen to some pre-show jams, you know, to get us kind of going, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I feel like today I'm going to be a little bit better, a little more on point. Hopefully I'll be able to keep a thought for more than a sentence or two than we got last week.
I hope so. No, yeah, you could not hold anything together last week at all.
Man, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So this week, we're once again back at it, doing a call-in show. We love these. We love to talk to you guys. This week, we're calling it Listener Call-Ins, Volume 3 or 4, we think. I couldn't remember if we did this 3 times before, 4 times before, 2 times before. I don't know. Oh, Scott's asking, how was the stroke?
He's better.
That's between me and my wife. But I'm teen. Tough crowd.
Yeah. All that's because right. You suck at telling jokes. That's probably what's going on here.
No, I don't suck at telling jokes. I'm pretty good at it. So, I haven't got an email back from my first caller, so I'm going to call Thomas. Thomas, are you ready in the chat for me to give you a call and get it on? I'm sure he is.
Get what on?
Thomas is our cousin. Get what on? The show, man. Get it on in the conversation. He's our cousin. He's also a fan of the show. He's been listening for a good long while. He's a former member of the military, kicks some ass in many engagements, I'm sure. I don't know. We never asked him about it.
I have.
Oh, yeah? Has he kicked some ass?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I asked him at our aunt's funeral. I was like, what's the single most dangerous move you can do? And he's like, palm thrust to the nose, knee to the groin, every time. I'm like, whoa, really? He's like, yep. Promise you. I was like, oh, cool. I didn't think I would be available to give my links, but I'm awake and watching.
Hey, Ben. Ben's saying he's regrets not signing up for call. You can still do that, Benny.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I mean.
No big deal.
We don't have a whole lot of structure here, so, I mean, if you'd like to call, we're all for that.
Yep. Anyway, so Thomas didn't say he was ready, but I'm going to
call
him.
What movie was that where Bruce Willis was like, fucking, I'm not going to die in a fucking Benihana?
I don't know.
Because, like, a restaurant out in the West Coast, I can't remember.
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh. All right. Let's get it on.
Here we go.
You calling him?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't ring. Hopefully we can.
There it is.
There it is. Pretty loud.
Who are we calling?
Thomas.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hey, yo.
Can you hear us? Oh, God, I hope you can hear us.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Hey, what's up, Thomas?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Surreal Talk.
I'm a little delayed on my TV, but...
Oh, yeah. Just turn your TV down and just listen through your phone. We should be good.
Yeah, yeah. Just
there's like a 30-second delay on the TV. Yeah. It's going to be horrible with YouTube.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you definitely just listen through the phone.
Yep. So you were saying you wanted to talk to us about the multiverse. That's a pretty wide topic. I mean, obviously, the multiverse apparently is everything in existence that we can comprehend. Well, might be, anyway.
Yeah.
What do you think? What are your thoughts? Where do you want to go?
Well, my biggest thing is that it's probably one of the most widely accepted theory in the science community.
That we absolutely cannot prove.
All of the
All science is his best guess.
Anyway, sorry, Thomas, go ahead.
So, we have Dr. Hugh Everett III, who in 1954 studied at Princeton, brilliant mathematician, studied quantum effects, and he came up with the multi-world theory, which is there's multiple different worlds that mimic our mirror, ours.
That mimic what?
Our world.
Oh, our world?
Our world. So, there's countless different, let's say, for example, Harry Kings. And every possible outcome in his life is played out in all these different multiple universes.
Sure, sure. Hey, Thomas, are you on speakerphone by chance?
No.
Okay. All right, good. Said some people were having a little trouble hearing you.
That's better. Yeah.
That sounds a little better, yeah.
Okay, yeah. My house has shitty reception.
Gotcha. That's better. Anyway, rewind us about 30 seconds there, if you wouldn't mind. Talking about if there was a single Eric Hicks versus the multiverse.
Give Ben the Skype number on through chat.
I will.
All right. Go ahead, Tom.
Probably the most interesting case of either multiverse or parallel dimensions would probably be this. It's not confirmed, you know, but a story, The Man of Torrid, which I'm pretty sure you guys have heard.
What was it?
The Man of Torrid.
No, I don't know it.
In the 1950s, at the Haneda Airport in Tokyo, a guy landed, and he was going through customs.
Sure.
When he was going through customs, they asked, you know, how you have to check your passport and all that. Well, his passport came from Torrid, which is a country on the border of France and Spain. Now, the interesting thing is Torrid doesn't exist.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, if you look on a world map, where he said Torrid exists is a little country called Andorra.
Sure, I know Andorra.
So anyway, they detained him. They detained all of his documents, put him up in a hotel. Well, that night, everything was normal. The next day, they opened up the hotel. The man vanished without a trace. And then the real weird thing is all the documents that they detained and locked up in a secure room was gone.
That's weird. So,
fucking government.
That sounds like a living version of like a Mandela crossover type of thing. You know what I mean? The two universes in the multiverse kind of.
Whoa, I think you're giving that too much credit. That could just be a simple kidnapping.
Well, I mean, if it's to be real, you know what I mean? Like the guy, one, bumped into our universe, and then two, after he was here a little bit, bumped back out of it. You get what I'm saying?
No.
Oh, yeah.
So he's saying the guy was in our universe from a country that didn't exist. You know, so he's obviously from another timeline or parallel universe.
Yeah.
And then after they detained him,
completely legitly looking passport.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like from what you're telling me, yeah, it sounds just like the guy was from another universe. So and then he disappears the next day after all the stuff. So what if he, at that point, had just phased back over to whatever his original reality was?
He figured he wasn't in the right one. Go back over.
I don't know if it's as easy as let me hit the button on my little portal gun like Rick has.
Yes, that's probably what happened.
Hey, you watch Rick and Morty, by the way? Thomas?
And then,
you watch Rick and Morty, by the way?
No, I don't watch Rick and Morty.
Oh, well, you ought to, because it takes place basically all over the multiverse. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But
that's a fun
show. And then also, our universe is constantly growing and expanding.
Right.
That's the theory.
Yeah, inflation.
Well, they can base that off of measurements that they take from space.
Right, the way all galaxies are blue shifting away from us, it indicates that all galaxies are going away from each other. Not just away from a center point in the universe, but actually away from each other for the most part. Not all of them, because like Andromeda, for instance, our closest galaxy.
It's getting closer to us.
Right, and it's going to collide with us. So some of them are getting close. That's a gravity thing. But the ones that aren't close enough for gravity to really pull them together are going apart.
Which means, if you think about it, if it is expanding, that means there's an outer edge. which means there has to be something beyond that outer edge that has not yet.
I think of it kind of like a wave on the ocean. The edge of the universe is kind of like the wave. I mean, there's still a fabric of reality, but the matter and the bulk of what this universe is hasn't expanded out that far. That's my opinion. I don't have any kind of real scientific backing.
There's got to be something there.
I mean, not necessarily. If it has expanded to there yet, I mean. But I don't know. We don't know what space really is. Is
yeah,
the problem.
I mean, we can't prove it, but we can't disprove it yet.
Yep.
We don't have a power enough satellite or telescope to see that far.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is Albert Einstein.
Heard of him.
He thought our universe was like a soap bubble. And then there's this, that was our universe, and then there could be other soap bubbles.
Sure, yeah, just the mini universes theory.
Yeah, and then if two soap bubbles collide, that could have been our Big Bang. And the fragments come off, create another universe, or if one soap bubble splits and forms two bubbles, then you have a new universe that way as well.
It kind of reminds me of the theory of the white hole versus the black hole, whereas a black hole swallows everything up, a white hole supposedly spews matter out. What if the creation of our universe or any other universe is basically that, the proverbial white hole? I mean, here's a thought, right?
Is that racist?
Yeah.
No, that's not racist.
I mean, Stephen Hawking saw a black hole, you know, just a wormhole to a different universe.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that, Stephen. You know what I mean?
But Stephen Hawking is a little crazy.
Yeah, he's no Neil deGrasse Tyson with his level of craziness, but he's up there. So
there's a couple people in chat that don't exactly know what a multiverse is. Can you explain what the multiverse, the theory behind it, and what exactly
so
it
the
is?
The original.
I was actually talking to Thomas.
Okay, fine. Sorry,
Thomas. Can you explain what the multiverse is?
Well, the multiverse, you know, take from the name. It is a theory that believes in multiple different universes.
All simultaneously existing at the same time?
Yes. Or maybe not, you know. There might be one that's stuck in the past. We really don't know, you know. We don't know how time or anything, you know, affects these different
multiverses. Let's think about it like this. Is it an infinite number of multiverses? If it is, then not only is there an infinite number of exact copies of us, there's an infinite number of universes where we don't exist. That's the fun of infinity, though.
Infinity is such a...
Infinite everything and infinite nothing has to exist in infinity.
At the same time. Yeah, multiverse where Hillary Clinton is president.
I'm not fucking going there.
and we're overruled by Nazis.
I'm not going there either.
Some of the best pop culture stuff has been the possibility of other times. Like, have you heard of Red Son of Kryptonite or something like that? It's a Superman comic book where he landed over in Russia rather than America. It's another universe. He turned, like, they raised him with Russian values during the Cold War.
Uh-oh.
And he ended up growing up to be a dictator and ruling the whole entire planet.
Entire world.
Instead of the Superman thing on his chest, he had the sickle and hammer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
What about Back to the Future Part 2, where they skew off into a different timeline? That's the multiverse, yeah?
So time travel has many different ways. So what if time travel is you're actually going forward and backwards in your own universe, and then there's the thought of time travel is you're not even going anywhere in your own universe, you're just popping over into another one at a different point in fourth dimension time. You agree there, Thomas?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have, you know, deja vu. And then there's also, you know, alter view, which is when you remember the history differently. You know, kind of like the Mandela effect. So, you know.
I do.
Eric, you know, he might, you know, for example, might remember as the Bernstein Bears, you know, with a E. Because that's...
Oh, it's Bernstein for sure.
Well,
that's where his, you know, part that he remembers. And I might, you know, remember Bernstein Bears.
Well, there was a thing on the group the other day somebody posted where I think it was Jessica Smith posted. It was an actual Berenstain Bears swag, like merchandise. But the tagging on it started out, said Berenstain Bears on the top. And then below that, it had another thing that said Berenstain Bears, spelled the other way, on the same piece of swag for Berenstain Bears.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. She was selling it. So you can find that in our group if anybody wants to buy that.
She was
really
selling
cool, it? Yeah, that really cool Mandela effect little
wow
in-between artifact there. Mandela effect is one of the coolest things. I think it's bullshit, honestly, but it's one of the coolest things these days that point to the possibility of the multiverse.
Oh, it's a very cool idea to entertain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun, like I was saying before. Hey, Thomas, you got anything else you want to blow our minds with? Any theories or whatnot on the multiverse?
No, that's pretty much it.
Right on, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in.
Definitely. Thank you for calling in.
We love talking about the multiverse.
Everett loves the multiverse because of that show.
You know, I wanted to go a little bit more before I let you go into the explanation of the multiverse. I want to make sure you agree with me. So the popular theory of the multiverse is that for every – it's not just that there are an infinite number of possible or dimensions out there. It's for every possible outcome of, like, down to subatomic movement. So if the particle in chaos theory moves left, it does so in this dimension, it moves right in that dimension. And for every decision you make, like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and brush my teeth, or I'm going to go to the kitchen and get a drink, just those little split-offs happen, and every possibility happens. So it's a quantum effect.
That's where the infinite number comes in.
It exactly. It goes down to, you know, right now I'm drinking a Coke in a different universe. I could be drinking water.
Or a Pepsi.
Something, you know, as mindless as that.
Or the water could be drinking you. There was an episode of Rick and Morty. They were running from the I know, I love it. They were running from the cops, I believe, like the interdimensional cops, and they ran through three universes in a row. In the first universe, they ran through, I think, humans were the chairs. They ran through like a living room in a house, and it was some pizzas that were ordering some humans or something on the phone, like some food. And then they ran through a portal and come into the next one. Well, now the pizza is the chair. The chair is making the phone call, and the human is the phone. It's just every little possibility changes. There's just so many different possibilities. That's what's great about the multiverse.
Infinite.
Anything is possible. It has happened, and will happen again. I don't know.
Now, if we could go to a different universe, would you meet the other universe's version of yourself?
Or would it, cause like a time-delaying paradox?
Or time travel. I'm saying time travel and dimensional travel are completely separate. And Puya Sharma in our chat here agrees completely that it's two different things. Time travel and interdimensional travel are just separate. I would love to meet another one of myself. Did you ever see the movie
Jet Li?
That's what that movie was about. That he was going from universe to universe, killing all the other versions of himself and taking their power to be the one version of himself across the multiverse with all the power.
I have not seen that.
It was interesting.
Who do you think would win in a fight between you and you?
Depends on which me. Me and me from the next dimension over, or me the dimension where I'm fucking Chuck Norris?
No, the only difference in
or the dimension where I have claws for hands. I don't know. There's an infinite possibility. I could shoot rockets out of my eyes in a dimension. So that's a loaded question. There's an infinite version of me.
So that guy's going to win. The rocket guy,
and he's also going to lose. You got to understand, all things happen at the same time, both ways.
It's pretty hard to lose.
It's not even both ways.
There's a different universe ever to be, you know, this fat, lazy blob.
Fuck you.
That's this one.
Fuck you, boy. All right. This has been a great call,
shit.
Thomas, you son of a bitch. That's funny. All right, man. Thanks for calling in. I'm not hanging up on you because of that. It's just time to move on. We love you. We'll catch you next time. Right. Nice talking to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for calling, Tom.
See you, man.
All right, no problem.
See you.
God, that was great, wasn't it?
Last one. What a nice little add-on there at the end. That's fun. I love talking about the multiverse. I know it sometimes can make your head swim when you think about the possibilities because, again, infinity is...
Yeah. It's rough.
There's universes where C-A-T really does spell dog. Thank you, Ogre.
Yeah.
So
that's heavy, Ogre.
Indeed. All right, we're going to give Ben a call. He was just in the chat saying he wishes that he could be on the show today. Well, wish granted. He wants
Maybe
to talk.
Maybe he can tell us if Benihana is really a restaurant.
No, he wants to talk about one of your favorite subjects.
What?
The one we were talking about earlier today.
What?
Pizzagate/Pedogate.
All right.
This is an Eric special. So, Ben, here comes your call, man. And the last thing he said in the chat, and I want to preface the call with that, I could satisfy a woman in another universe. Ha-ha.
He wants to talk about pedo gay.
So this ought to be a good call.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. It should start doing that weird ringing thing anytime now.
Let me pretend like I'm ordering a pizza.
Well, you do that every time when it's old, but go ahead.
All right, I got it.
Great thing is he's got 30 seconds. He don't.
Hey, this is Pizza Hut. Just calling you back just to make sure that you ordered the two large pepperonis with extra onions.
Two large pepperonis with extra onions, huh?
That's all he's got, dude.
Yeah, that's it.
What's up, Ben? This is Eric and Everett. He's just trying to fuck with you. You know how he does.
Yes. Yes. How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing, man. If we were doing any worse, we'd be mildewing. Then you'd be smelling us instead of seeing us.
God, that was horrible.
Hey, fuck. I fucking played it off. Go ahead. What's up now? What do you want to talk about?
You want to talk about Pizzagate and Pedogate, right, Benny?
It's not pedo.
Pedo, pedo. I think it is pedo.
Pedo, yeah, long E.
Maybe. Pedophile.
No, it's Pedogate.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree,
Thank
gentlemen.
You.
Anyway.
Anyway, right. So what do you where do you want to start at with the fucking chomos?
All right, so you guys got my message.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right
now. Pretty
much
all I got. You know, starts out at what happened in Belgium in 1995, 1996, reported on it again in 2002.
I'm interested.
All right, so these guys were snatching kids off the street. You know, police found multiple girls in a makeshift basement in a guy's house.
Wow.
Inside the barrels, huh? I'm assuming dead.
Sit in the basement, not barrels.
Oh, I thought you said in barrels. Sorry.
Actually, no. They found them alive,
oh,
which
good.
Was one of the crazy things.
And this isn't that guy that had his daughter in the basement, right? Nothing to do with that.
Why don't you let the guy tell you?
Oh, sorry, man.
Okay, so they find these people, and when they find them. They find ties to the police. They find ties to judges. They find ties to multiple levels of government all the way up to the top. And it just disappears. It's pretty much the same thing that happened here in the U.S.
So they just squashed it based on who they knew?
So you're saying Pizzagate came out in Belgium in, what, the mid-90s, and it was basically the same thing that happened?
Pedogate.
Whatever. So yeah, okay, so they had uncovered a big pedophile ring in Belgium, much the same as it just happened here.
Pedophile ring, yeah.
Yeah, it disappeared because, yeah, I'd never heard of that before.
It's happened in Belgium. It's happened in Spain. It's happened in France. I mean, it's happened all over the place. And if you look at, I mean, this goes all the way down to, you can tie it to multiple other conspiracies. You can tie it to the Illuminati. You can tie it to the New World Order. You know, all the stuff with Luciferianism.
Yeah.
You know, you can tie all that stuff together.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to disagree on the Luciferian thing, because Luciferian, that whole religion isn't like about like worshiping Satan. So I mean, if you're on that one, like where they're worshiping Satan, molesting kids, they're like trying to be better themselves. You know, that's that whole. We did the show on Satanism, remember? And we talked all about that Luciferian religion and how it closely. It's just basically they just want to make themselves richer and better.
Well, it's a religion.
I guess you know
itself.
What that does tie in though, because once you get rich and powerful, apparently you become a pedo.
Fair enough.
You know, and what I've heard is like that's the only thing that the elite have to that's like the in bribe. Like you can't be in on this unless you are a pedo, because they've got to have something to hold over your head, and that's like the, you know what I'm
so
saying.
So they force make blackmail material. They make you have sex with a kid, so they've got something on you.
Yeah, but I don't think they force
pretty much
after,
because I mean nowadays like. You can go and you can cheat on your wife, you know, and people will look the other way.
Bill Clinton got a blowjob in the White House, okay? That was, I mean, of course he got impeached, but people love Bill Clinton.
Still do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was his old lady. Now, if Bill Clinton would have got caught molesting a kid in the White House?
That'd have been bad. And he should have been hung for it or whatever. I don't know about hung. That's pretty hard for molestation. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the one who ekes out justice.
Makes those decisions,
yeah,
right? Sorry, Ben, go ahead.
All right, so, I mean, pretty much exactly what you said is true. You know, that's the only thing they can hold over your head. I mean, that goes all the way to the NSA, the CIA, the FBI. You know,
higher than that, the Vatican, the royal family. I mean, I allegedly all the way that high.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the Vatican. I know about the other ones.
Oh, I know about the Vatican. The Pope's right-hand man just got, they just got caught covering up. He had three cases of sexual abuse, and the Vatican, and the Vatican is rife with history of, instead of prosecuting their people that, that get caught in these abuse scandals with kids, they ship them off to different places. So that they're not being prosecuted, you know, and that's essentially covering it up is what you're doing, because they'll ship them off to a different,
take them out of the jurisdiction.
Exactly. Or, you know what I mean? Oh shit, this guy got caught molesting a couple kids.
He's in America. Now, send him to Ecuador.
Now he's in Brazil. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's fucked up the way that that works.
See, and I mean, it's like, it's not just in Australia. You know, it's happened here in the U.S. It's happened, you know, obviously in Belgium. It's been documented. It's, you know, a clear case where it's happened, and everybody knows what has happened. It's happened in France. It's happened all over the world, you know, and people just keep sweeping it under the rug because, you know, this is the elite, and that's the fucking power that they have.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I agree, too. I was thinking about it today that pedophilia is such a shitty thing, but did you know that back in Greek times, it was pretty much the norm?
Yeah, that's the shit that they were into, you know? That was like, you know, the who's who is fucking kids, you know?
And you go up onto the Acropolis or whatever it was called, they issue you two or three children. And
now, follow me here. What if the secret societies that function nowadays were formed back then when that shit was normal?
I mean, that's a hell of a...
That's a hell of a leap, but... I mean, that could be.
Sounds,
you know,
like the basis of a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, it, right. Or a David Icke conspiracy.
Yeah. You got to love David.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hold on.
Do your thing, man. I was just going to say that the talk of pedo-gate is... Pedo-gate's such a weird thing because that makes it seem like there's actually pedo. One... No, I call it pedo. I like it.
Oh, okay.
I don't like pedo-gate, but I like that word.
It makes me think of feet.
Get past that.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm saying that it's not one conspiracy. There's not one pedophile ring out there, pedophile ring, whatever you want to call it. They're everywhere.
No, hundreds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a worldwide dilemma.
I don't get it. When are the people who, these judges that people are related to that have to get them out of, you know, this pedophile trouble, when are they going to say, no, you know what, fuck you. Take your licks for, you know, doing what you shouldn't have done.
That's a rough analogy, though. Pedogate, take your licks.
Yeah, I shouldn't have went that way.
Right.
But look at the consequences that come with that. You know, who puts these judges in power?
Well, it could be. That's a good point. You know,
he's my cousin, sir.
Coming down from above them.
Did you catch it? That was a funny reference.
I thought so, too. Has anybody ever seen Spaceballs? You'll get that.
Yeah. Love that.
Who made this man a gunner? He's my cousin, sir.
This guy's an asshole. All right, Benny, anything else you want to talk about? I know you had a couple subjects you sent that message a while back.
He's done with pedo-gate.
Well, he's got that, but he had all kinds of stuff, too.
Oh, okay, well, hell, hit me.
I was just going to say,
fuck me up with some truth, Ben.
Pedo-gate's crazy. I mean, there's so many examples of pedophile rings.
You know, I can go on and on about it, but just real quick, you know, everybody I'm sure that's listening to your chat, you know, in the chat room, everything like that, you know, they had to have heard Cat Williams. You know, everybody's seen Cat Williams stand up.
You would have to.
This motherfucker got 3 foot lockers. Or whatever it was. Yeah, we all heard it.
Three goddamn foot lockers. Yeah. Michael Jackson. Where he goes on about Michael Jackson being a pedo is funny.
And most people that are in this chat probably old enough to have seen Eyes Wide Shut. You know, if you follow Pizzagate, if you follow Pedogate, you know, they've made the references to Eyes Wide Shut. You know, Cat Williams actually references that in one of his stand ups.
How so?
When he's talking about the mansion parties.
Give me the whole story.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, the mansion parties.
I don't remember. Tell me
all
about
it. Yeah, he goes in one room, you kiss it, there are two dudes kissing, one room's this, one room, they're doing different shit in every room, and then parties. You don't remember that?
No.
Oh,
see,
yeah,
I do. The problem I have with Cat Williams is I watched his first special.
You can fuck around and walk in the wrong room and see some shit you don't want to see.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
I remember that.
It sounds like those swingers parties, though. You know, you go into the wrong room. I guess it's the same thing.
Well, that's what he's working up to.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to.
You know, and then he's talking about the Illuminati, all right? You know, when he's talking about walking into the wrong room, seeing some shit you don't want to see, he's talking about the Illuminati. And then in a private interview that he does that was, I don't know if it was televised or not. I know it's on YouTube. You can find it pretty much anywhere. He's talking about how the Illuminati Hollywood style does not want him and does not want Dave Chappelle. And when he references, like, all of these, you know, you can walk in, see some shit you don't want to see, that's what he's talking about.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just thought, but
oh, you're
it's
good.
It's that five-hour energy drink. It's making my mind go crazy today. Go ahead, man. That's fine.
Oh, I really didn't have anything after that. You know, I pretty much fucking ran out.
So speaking of Eyes Wide Shut, I read an article this week, and I don't even know if this is legit or not because I didn't bother looking at the where it came from on my Facebook feed, but I just thought it was interesting. Nicole Kidman, who was in Eyes Wide Shut, came, I don't remember if she directly told like her dad or somebody, which her dad I thought was a pedo too, but I'm not sure about that. That's
a hell of an accusation. I'm not
accusing anybody of anything, but she came out and said
that they both are.
See,
that they're both into the same deal.
Right. And she came out and said that a lot of that is there's truth to that. There's truth to the whole pedophilia thing, and she learned that while filming Eyes Wide Shut.
I mean, look at what
actually seen it.
What's the guy's name that played Frodo? Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
You know what he came out and said, even though he redacted his statement. You know.
Right.
I'll go ahead and say that. But then you look at Corey Feldman, the guy.
Poor guy.
Knows him.
Everett and I were just talking about him on the way up
Corey
here.
Corey Haim. Feldman, yeah.
Corey Feldman said Corey Haim got passed around the Hollywood circle like a fucking bottle of cheap whiskey, dude. He said it was bad for that kid. He said it was bad.
Yeah, it fucked him up so bad he killed himself.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. You know? And that's what Corey Feldman attributes Corey Haim's death to, is the molestations and the sexual abuse at the hands of the Hollywood directors. And that's what Corey Feldman even came out and said, he said it was directors, it was main people in the business.
Yeah, studio heads.
Yeah, he didn't give any names or nothing, but he said it was just all those types of people that would just pass him around. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was like a casting couch for children.
Yeah.
Backroom casting couch. Yeah,
gosh, that's rough.
Videos.
But yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at what just recently happened in L.A., they had 278 arrests, and the only thing that they named were an Australian official, which it doesn't say whether he was like a judge, whether he held a seat on some sort of fucking council, you know, but they named a monk, which was like a 26-year-old monk where they found child porn on one of his devices, doesn't say what device, but then when they're talking about people from the U.S., they're talking about, just white-collar officials, household names, Hollywood elite. They don't give any names.
Well, when you hear a lot about the pedo gate here in America, the names that come up, you hear like Anthony Weiner, John Podesta, Tony Podesta, his brother also, and then you hear the pieces, James Alefantis, all that stuff is major talking points here in the U.S. when those conversations come up. But you're right, they don't have any like big time government officials, because John Podesta was just the head of the DNC, head of Hillary's campaign, and then Tony Podesta, I forget what he does.
He'd be a brother.
See, those motherfuckers are just creepy because of the art they keep in their house. Tony Podesta, you know, putting out in a magazine where he's got a teddy bear sitting on a bed. You know, dude doesn't have any kids in his house. Fuck, you got a teddy bear sitting on your bed for?
Fucking
pedos.
You know,
you got kids tied up and all kinds of other fucking art in your house. It's bullshit. You know, that can be tied to that. All right. You know, people can say everything they want. That's pretty legit in my mind. But when you're talking about 278 arrests that just happened in L.A. a couple months ago, and you're not putting out a single name.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's the shit that I want to know.
Yeah, how do you get away with making that big of a bust on that big of a child porn ring or child pedo ring and not be able, and not release a single name?
How does that not even get out to the blogs? You know what I mean? Because I can see it not making out in the L.A. Times or the Orange County Register.
But here's the thing, though. On something like that, if it is a bunch of high-level judges or fucking mayors and governors and whatever it may be, you put in a Freedom of Information Request Act for that, they're going to kill you. You're dead. It's over. It's game over.
Send Hillary
suiciders. I want to know the names. Yeah, you got suicided for sure.
I want to make the T-shirt of that. Suicided.
That's another thing that I put in the message, but I'm not even going to touch on that today. You guys will probably hit it later. The difference between the Hollywood elite and the political elite, because they both have their own fucking rank structures. They both have their own agendas. And I don't know who's pulling who.
Now that's interesting. You know, I've not really thought about a difference between the political elite and the Hollywood elite.
You know what? Next week we'll talk about that. Next week we're doing a show on weird Hollywood deaths. We're finally getting around to that, and Armand's going to be back on the show. Armand's been on our show a couple times. He did the global warming. He was on a week or two ago, but this time he lives out in L.A. He's in the movie business. He's a writer. He's been on many, many game shows. He sold scripts out there. Had movies made from his scripts. He knows a lot about the old school Hollywood and about all the shit that goes on out there. So it'll be interesting to see or hear Armand's take.
What his take is on pedos.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what I'm saying?
And the structure, like the elitism out there, just to hear the kind of shit that goes on.
Yeah, because there's got to be somebody at the top.
you've got so many people sitting at home. You know, obviously the political elite have their agenda and they need the people sitting at home, you know, to follow whatever they've got going on, but nobody knows their names. All right, so who do you use? You use the guys in Hollywood. You know, you put it out in movies, you put it out in TV shows, you put it out in everything else. You know, that's the way it goes. So where do you tie those two together?
Indeed, where?
Mainstream media. No, I'm just bullshitting. That was just...
That's great. All right, man, you got anything else for us, buddy?
Nobody watches fucking CNN anymore. Nobody watches MSNBC.
Yeah, you got to have CNN cable to watch the cable news network.
CNN pretty much got fucked up lately, didn't they? They're pretty fucked now. Yeah. I'm sure CNN probably won't survive this.
Did you see that thing the other day about how it was the guy that was... Oh, fuck, it was mic'd, and they were talking about how...
I posted it.
Oh, okay, so that was you.
Yeah.
So I guess you did see it.
I did
see it. Well, explain it real quick.
It was an interview, and it was an undercover interview, and it was a guy talking to one of the executives at... Or maybe like the head dude at CNN, and he was just getting him to tell.
I think he was just a producer. Honestly.
He was getting him to tell like how it doesn't matter if it's true or not with the Trump Russia collusion. It was more just like
because it sells. It's like how newspapers
exactly.
used to only put print stories that would sell a newspaper. They want ratings.
But that's not fucking journalism, though.
That
man.
Is not journalism.
That is not journalism. Not at all. And
it's the same group that makes that the news that keeps other shit from being the news. You know what I mean? The pedal ring is kept out of the news for a reason. And Trump is kept in there for a reason.
Yeah.
People lose money on the pedo ring, and they gain money on the Trump shit that just sells.
Mm-hmm.
But the money lost, they would make a lot of money publishing shit about a pedo ring, but the people who are involved in it will lose way more money. So
yeah, you fuck around and catch two to the back of the head.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes.
I wonder why we ain't caught two to the back of the head. We did two Pizzagate shows.
It's only a matter of time.
True. Hey, well, we appreciate you calling in, man.
I've enjoyed calling.
Thank you.
I'm going to go back, drink some more beer before I got to go to work. You know, I'll listen to you guys.
Oh, hell yeah. Hopefully you don't operate heavy equipment at work.
Oh, hell no. They just give me a gun.
Oh, yeah, even better.
Fuck it.
All right, take it easy, Ramrod.
He's a cop. He's going to be hammered before he goes to work.
See you, buddy.
That's not Ramrod, man.
Duh.
Gosh.
Hey, it's a long day for me.
Some people's kids.
Ben. Sorry, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's next?
Man? Who is next?
We're going through them today.
Witching hour is here.
Let's do witching hour.
You got a call
number. Hey, send me your number there, Christina.
It says, hey Eric, and ever just let you know my video feed's pretty far behind, so call me when y'all are ready. My Skype's already up.
Oh yeah, she sent that to me, didn't she?
I don't know.
Hang with me for a minute. I got to get this here. My God, I've already lost it. Hey, stall. Eric, stall.
Stall. Okay, yeah, stall. This land is your land.
Oh, God, don't
this land
that.
Is my land. Oh, okay, never mind.
Maybe she messaged it to me.
Hey, that was a pretty interesting call, though. I like that. That was pedos. Not that I like pedos, but I like talking about that subject.
It was your idea to do that the first time, and it was kind of a we had to do it the second time.
Yeah, because that was your fault, though. God, no more Pizzagate. Oh. That shit is so fucked up. I know, but that's why we need to talk about it, Dabney, because it is so fucked up, and the more it gets out, the more people know about it.
Yeah, here's the Skype address. I found it.
You know what I'm saying, man?
I do, but I don't know that I actually think about it the same way you do, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Is this right? No, that's not right. Hold on. Add contact. I should have had this.
Jeez Louise, Papa Cheese.
Should have had this ready.
Yeah.
Surreal talk.
He was like, I'm going to go drink some beer before I go to work. Hell yeah.
All right. There's three accounts that are showing up for this. So I'm going to send the fucking a request to every single one of them.
Yeah, might as well. So you're getting a request, witching hour, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about the whole witching hour dude thing.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know that it was a gal. And so whenever. It was in the chat for originally.
She was in the chat, right.
Yeah, she was in the chat. I'm saying it because it just showed up as the Witching Hour Productions, Macabre, and all
it's,
that.
It's macabre, you son of a bitch.
Anyways, you know how I like to do that. Macabre. So, yeah, stories. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. What's your number? I could try calling you. Oh, likely story. His personal number is. No.
I don't know what our Skype number is. I know we have one, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Facebook message, Everett.
Yeah, I got a Facebook message?
No.
Hey, Christina, just send me a Facebook message with your phone number, and I'll just call you.
We are like electric dynamite.
Number.
But ass. The dude abides. Put Armand in the voting pool.
Electric dynamite. That's from
Yes.
That's Tenacious D.
Yeah, that's Lee saying that.
Yeah.
I just hate because nothing will happen to stop it. I know, man, dude. It sucks. It sucks. Nothing's going to stop the fucking crooked political system either.
I don't remember. What are you talking about?
I was just talking to Dabney in the
like
chat.
Just like last week. I was going like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Yeah. Kind of slow today on our call-in show, but you know what? I'm not in any hurry.
Why not?
It's going to make the podcast real fun when people listen. At this point, I'm going to say go ahead and skip ahead 30 seconds if you have that button. Skip forward button. I don't know if that's
Thing. We're trying to line up our caller, but that's all right.
It's all right, indeed. I think we only got two callers.
Thomas didn't do too bad on the multiverse, though.
Yeah,
man, you
know? It was fun talking to him, too.
That multiverse is weird, dude. You got to be like, you can't be a very closed-minded person to think about the multiverse, because if you start thinking like, you know, this Earth's, you know, the people that are like Christians. So
oh,
those.
Hold on, I'm getting a call.
Oh, you getting a call?
I think it's
stories.
Working.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to turn your TV down. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Your name's not. Is it Christina or is it Amanda?
I'm Chris.
Okay.
I'm Christina.
Okay. No, you're the witching hour dude.
I am the dude.
Welcome to the show.
Hey guys.
How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
We're doing good.
We're not too bad. I'm okay.
So
well, that's good.
First and foremost, let's get out of the way. We keep talking. You're the Witching Hour podcast, dude. What's the Witching Hour podcast?
Yeah. Let's hit us with some knowledge here.
We are the Witching Hour, stories of the macabre and unusual.
Macabre.
No,
macabre. Yep. We basically talk about true crime, paranormal events, cults, conspiracies, a lot of what y'all talk about.
Paranormal, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like a show I know.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's plenty of room out there for...
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And we play a drinking game while we do the whole show.
Why the fuck didn't we think of that?
I don't know. That's a cool premise.
Do you guys do YouTube videos? Because I'll watch that shit.
We're thinking about it eventually. Not currently, but we're moving towards that.
If you guys ever need some help getting it set up, like, let me know. I'll help you out.
Okay, sweet.
Yep. Anyway, what do you want to talk about with this today? What kind of cool stuff you want to talk about?
Okay. First off, have y'all ever heard of Dolores Cannon?
I have not. I'm gonna Google.
I don't think so. Yeah. I have never.
She is a hypnotherapist. She started in the 60s. She originally was doing past life regressions, and she eventually got into, like, hypnotizing people that have been abducted.
Ooh. Oh, she's from St. Louis.
Oh, she really?
Born in St. Louis. I'm sorry.
Oh.
And I say that because that's close to us.
Yeah. But the really cool thing about her is allegedly through her hypnoregressions with these people that have been abducted, she, in her words, eventually started to be able to talk to extraterrestrials through her subjects that she was hypnotizing.
I thought you meant people who have been kidnapped. You mean straight up abducted by ET.
Come on, we're a cults, conspiracy, and paranormal.
Sorry,
show, and you hear abduction and think kidnap?
I know. I'm a fraud.
Come on.
No, so she talked directly to the aliens, kind of like in the movie Independence Day, where Brent Spiner gets the alien tentacle around his neck, and they talk to him that way?
Kind of. More like the ETs were, like, mentally going through whoever was hypnotized.
Using the abductee and hypnotized as a conduit, pretty much, then.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Yeah.
They are the telephone line.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
And according to her, they told her that they created Earth as well as human beings as, like, an experiment.
Makes sense.
And
like, tracking devices are put into people that have health issues, or they're also put into ETs that have volunteered to be humans so that they can see, like, how the human body works and what all the chemicals in the world we have today are doing to our bodies. And,
So it's all just a big experiment, huh?
Is it
the thought, is their physiology similar to ours? Is that why they're using us as guinea pigs? Kind of like how we use pigs. Is there like a...
As our lab right, rats.
Less advanced version, but close enough version of humans.
I think so. I think what the whole theory is that they created us and they hope to one day be able to progress us to their level, because they are like slightly humanoid in a sense, but they are significantly more advanced. Like, they don't eat, they survive off of light energy. Their procreation is entirely different, but because they evolved us from apes, mm-hmm. in this theory, we're still very animalistic. And so they're trying to help us progress past the animal form to, like, the higher being form.
Well, thank you to the aliens.
Let me ask you this. Do you think those aliens could just be future us's that have evolved to where they don't have to eat and they use light and energy, and that their procreation is different, and they're coming back in time to check on us? Because maybe they didn't create it. Maybe it's just future us evolved. You know what
Wasn't
I mean?
Wasn't that the movie Interstellar?
I don't think that.
Yeah, that is kind of like the movie Interstellar.
Yeah, you should watch that movie with Matthew McConaughey.
I love that movie.
It was pretty good. You should check it
out. Is that the one with the strings for, like, the big, you see, like, the at the end, like, the big strings?
Right, yeah, it's like a fourth dimensional way to see all of time at one time, like a catalog of time.
If he doesn't go, all right, all right, all right, I'm not watching it.
Well, you're out of luck, buddy.
Oh, God.
That was pretty good.
But, yeah, that's the cool thing about this theory. It's, like, you constantly are able to branch off of it, like you did, Eric, with what if the... those beings are just us in the future, and they're coming back to the past, and
maybe to genetically modify us. Maybe they went back far enough to genetically modify us to what they want them future selves to be. You know, maybe when they go back to their future, it's like, bam, they fix this thing in us, and now it makes their life better. You know, maybe they rely on an enzyme in the future that they don't want to have to rely on, and if they can come back and, you know, change that in us, maybe it won't. You know, they won't need that enzyme in the future. Something like that. You know what I mean? There's just so many different possibilities, but that's just what I'm trying to get at. Maybe they're from the future just to...
It doesn't matter if they're from the future, from Mars, from the solar system next door, or another galaxy, really. I mean, it's somewhere else.
Yeah. True.
That's my thoughts on it anyway.
But yeah, she... Dolores Cannon herself has written, like, 20 books between past life regression and, like... abductions and what the aliens are doing and yada yada yada, and some of it's really, really complicated, and I don't quite understand it because it's like physics and
welcome
quantum
to my world.
Theory. Yeah, and I'm just like glazing over as I'm reading it because I don't understand a single fucking word it's saying.
Right, like, so there's some subjects we'll do research on and I'm just staring at my TV like, what the fuck does that mean? Like,
I know that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
We'll sometimes pick subjects to do for our podcast, and I'm like doing the research, and finally, I'm just like, fuck it, I gotta do something else. I don't understand any of this, and then I'm gonna be drunk, so then I'm just gonna sound like an idiot the whole time.
Those are the shows where that drinking game comes in real handy.
Yeah, huh? right. That's what happened to us with our Obama show. I know somebody just asked about that recently too, but we were gonna do a Barack Obama show, and I started doing research for it, and I'm just like, that none of this holds water. Okay. We can't really sit here and say this about this guy when it's proved wrong on 50 different websites on the internet.
At that point, we'd be shills the opposite
direction,
right?
Exactly. It's proved wrong 50 different times on the internet. You could go and find this shit easily. So I can't really sit here and try to project this conspiracy.
Their counterintelligence game is high.
I can't sit here and try to like explain this conspiracy when it's not even a factor because it's been proved wrong so many times. I hear you.
So Dolores Cannon, she seems pretty cool. I'm probably not going to buy any of her books just because I don't have a lot of time for reading. But
yeah, no.
I wouldn't actually mind. That makes me want to get on YouTube and start looking for hypnosis videos of people who have been abducted just to see what they say when they're under. But the only problem I have with people who get hypnotized is, are they full of shit? Are you actually hypnotizing there?
Yeah, like
I wonder if you can get me hypnotized. Like somehow I want
to
try that.
We need to get hypnotists in here.
We do.
Anyway,
yeah, so. I'm like, sometimes I believe in things, but at the same time, the other part of me is like, really, is this real, or is this a whole bunch of bullshit? But talking about YouTube videos, you can actually go online and, well, on YouTube and just search Dolores Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of videos of her at different UFO seminars and conventions where she's giving lectures and talking about her whole theories and everything else. And I mean, I watched one, and at the end, there's like a question and answer session. And there's some crazy fucking people that end up at these fucking conventions asking questions. But other than that, it's pretty interesting.
I would have to think, my thought about her being at that convention, is she there to research for her books?
Or sell her books.
Or sell her books. That's right. That's my point. You know, it's like, how are you using these
I have
people?
A tough time believing people that stand to make a profit off of what they're talking about.
I don't mind people making a profit, but when it's obvious that you're doing the circuit.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if I trust you.
But you know what I mean? It makes your story a little less believable when you stand to make thousands and thousands of dollars off of telling this story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't give it the legitimacy that...
To break in and kind of go with that, we're going to have a doctor on the show here in a few weeks or a month or so. He's sending us a book about... it's a collection of stories that doctors have written about their... weird shit that's happened in the operating room. People have died and come back to life and stuff like that. But it's his book, and it's a bunch of other doctors who stand to make a whole bunch of money telling these stories of people. I wonder if that breaks Hippocratic Oath. Boy, that makes me wonder. Can you write a book about your patients?
No, you can't keep it anonymous.
Yeah, you can't use names. That's doctor-patient confidentiality.
Yeah. But talking about that, like the Travis Walton story, the Fire in the Sky story, like... I want to believe him because it's a cool story, but at the same time, there's like a lot of skeptics say he did this in order to make a whole bunch of money off of it.
Yeah, he was sick of logging, in my opinion. He was a logger that got abducted in the 70s, and now he's made a big deal out of getting abducted.
Oh, he got abducted.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, he's still making the UFO convention circuit. Like, every single year he's out there telling his story. And, like, some people... have given like different accounts of the story according to him. Mm-hmm. And so there's also like a lot of people that say that him and his mom were both really into UFOs before the in quotations abduction story happened. So, you know, it makes you wonder, did you just do this because you needed a buck and some attention, or did something fucked up really happen?
Because if that's the case, I get it, but I'm not buying it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, because you're just right along there with everyone else that just needs the buck and the attention. I understand that.
And it also takes away from those people like in Independence Day again. Hello, boys. I'm back. That guy who really got abducted.
That dude really did. Yeah.
In the movie.
Nobody's going to believe someone like that. You know what I mean? He's just fucking the town drunk. But, you know, that could be.
He didn't try to sell a book either. I guess if you try to sell a book, it legitimizes you because then people don't treat you like an asshole.
Yeah, but he drank way too much.
Yeah. That could be it, too.
I've talk to some people that have abduction stories, and like the ones that I really believe are the ones that like they're uncomfortable sharing this story because it's something scary and personal that happened to them.
Right.
Unlike the ones that are out there saying, here's my story, buy my story. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whenever somebody's got tears in their eyes and their
body language rules all in those situations.
Again,
because if you can do like
a sociopath can easily, you know.
Yeah, but not everybody's a sociopath. And I'm saying like, a sociopath could
fool you. The type of people that would lie, you know, they would come up with these stories, they're all sociopaths. So
I think so.
I mean,
it could be.
But even if one out of 1,000 of these people are legit, there, boom, that's all you need.
Yeah, I guess you're right there. Yeah. One instance is enough to prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about sociopaths, I want to make a quick note on your last episode, the simulation episode.
Yeah.
Sure.
As I was listening to it, if I'm a fucking sim and there's someone else out there like making my life choices or like deciding the shit that happens to me, then I'm being ran by a fucking sociopath because the shit that happens is not fucking okay.
For real, it's like, hey, find somebody else to pick on and see what happens when bad shit happens.
F5 go to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, find out who else's car needs a blown engine today. You know what I mean?
Right.
How they're going to react.
That's funny. I'm actually sitting in my broken down car right now. That's where I'm talking to y'all.
Oh, right. Well,
bummer.
That explains the Pat Benatar we heard a minute ago.
Yeah.
We were kind of jamming on that.
I was wondering if you could hear that music. I guess y'all can.
I wonder if that's going to fuck up our YouTube. Oh, well. They're going to be like, oh, you tried to put music in your video.
Yeah.
Right.
Brr, all mute. No audio.
We're going to lose the 37 cents we stood to make off of this. Thanks a lot, Christina.
No shit, right? Damn it. We're not rich
that, now. That's going to take, now it's going to be another year until we can withdraw our $100 from YouTube. That's such a funny model.
It is. Yeah.
All right, Christina, how can we find your podcast? Where are you guys at? What do we type into?
Are you on Facebook? What podcast outlets do you go
sell
through?
Sell us one more time here.
Yeah, so we are on Facebook. You have to search The Witching Hour PCast.
You should post that in the group, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And we have a Twitter. Just search The Witching Podcast. And then any of the podcast apps that you use, you just search The Witching Hour or The Witching Hour Stories of the Macabre and Unusual, and just find the one that says that specific title. We fucked up and we picked a title that other people have. So there is a little bit of confusion sometimes, but we're the one that has that long ass fucking title at the end.
You gotta love it. They never tell you how you're supposed to fill in these fields whenever you start doing a podcast and submitting it to all these places.
I know.
You find it out later.
Yep, and then you're like, fuck, it's too late now.
Yep. Ah, well, say love you.
Yep.
All right, cool. Christina, we appreciate you calling in and talking to us.
Yep, thanks for being on.
About Dolores and abductions and all kinds of other cool shit. And we'll catch you in a group tonight, tomorrow, and for the rest of the time, I guess, hopefully.
All right, cool, guys.
Yep. See you. Thanks again.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to be hypnotized.
That's what you took out of that?
Yep. I can't get any further past. You know what? I that's my new thing now. I'm going to have to figure out what exactly hypnosis is, and I got to find a legit hypnotist.
A legit hypnotist. That's the hard thing, too, because for every
person. Is there such a thing?
Well, think about it. You wonder about all the people lying about being hypnotized. You got to wonder about how many people lying about being hypnotists. I'm going to go out there and spend the shiny coin of gold.
You got to think there's assholes like me and you out there that are like, you know, even if the guy is a lying hypnotist and he's like, all right, I'm going to hypnotize you, like,
no, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah, like, you can't, you know.
I'm assuming that there's got to be a level of compatibility between the method of the person trying to hypnotize you and the person who is receiving the hypnosis. They have to be susceptible one to be hypnotized, I would assume. Not everybody's probably as susceptible to going under, if it's a real thing at all.
I don't know. I want to be hypnotized. I want to at least
try. You know what I'm saying?
It.
Some people, you know, you got the classics, move the watch back and forth in front of the face. Some people just do the light in the eye and the smooth talk. And
I'd be willing to do one of the ones where the guy makes you cluck like a chicken and shit.
You would do anything. I understand that.
If he could actually hypnotize me, you can make fun of me completely in a video. I want to be.
Fuck it. I'm going to set it up. I'm going to try to get us hypnotized.
I wish you would.
Here. All right. Well, I think we got one more caller for today because it looks like Ramrod is backed out.
Oh, yeah, Car Ramrod.
That's cool. That's cool. Next time, Rod. We destroyed his – he was going to try to be anonymous today for whatever we were going to talk about. Then we're not going to talk about what we were going to talk about. But then, like, as soon as we started the show today, we killed every bit of anonymity he had.
Yeah, Everett's a fuck-up.
So, you know, next time, we won't even call him Ramrod at this point. We done ruined that name.
Yeah, so, like, we have to come up with a new anonymous name.
All right, so we're going to call Ian real quick and take our last call for the day. It's been fun so far. Hope this works.
Well, okay, so...
Too late.
Right.
Too late. I'm already making a call.
Oh, man.
Yep.
I don't believe that, though.
You think he'd be force hypnotized?
I think that should show you it's bullshit.
Could be.
If you have to believe in it for it to work.
Oh, he sent me his number 38 minutes ago and I hadn't called him yet.
What an asshole.
No, it ain't his fault. Oh, I'm the asshole? Screw you. He's not the asshole. I guess I am the asshole.
You have reached the voicemail box of 443-536-7293.
I'm with a message.
Cool.
Hey, how you doing? This is Eric from Surreal Talk.
Hey, it's Everett, too. Hey, what's up, Ian? We called you to get you on the show today, but you didn't answer your phone.
Yeah, cool. So we're just leaving you a
message. I'm actually going to call him right back.
You're going to call him right back?
Yeah, see, I'm gonna spam his phone and see if it works. So.
Yeah, just keep calling him.
No, I'm not going to keep calling. I'm going to call you one more time. We'll see what happens. If not, we'll catch you on the next time.
Yep.
So hang it up and calling right back. Oh, maybe hang up. There we go. Okay. One more time. Paste in the number. I hope that was his phone number. He didn't accidentally give it wrong, and I'm calling somebody else leaving that message. They're like, I don't know what it's real talk is. Don't call me again.
Like, I thought you were talking about two large pizzas.
Here we go. Come on.
Hello?
Oh, Ian.
Is this Ian?
Hey, Ian, it's Everett and Eric from Serial Talk. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Pretty good. We just left you a voicemail. You can kindly disregard that now.
Oh, no.
So Ian sent me an email. He wanted to be a part of the show today, and he wanted to talk about, and I'm gonna loosely start this by saying, you wanted to talk about like the chips going in all of our debit cards and credit cards and stuff, right? And everything else that goes off of that.
Yeah, I mean, being a total hypocrite, I actually just used it at Chick-fil-A, but I still want to talk about it.
Fair enough. I used mine about an hour ago, too, at the gas
station. People still eat there?
Yeah. So what I said in my email, I never actually fully thought this through yet.
Now's the time.
But, yeah, I always thought something was up with that. I don't know why. You know, usually invention and making things better comes with making things faster, and this seems to double your time, which doesn't really make sense to me. Why would you implement something so new that takes more time? Everything's getting faster.
Yeah, I mean, what do you need more than just the ability to link a person to their account at whatever financial institution? Like, link me to MasterCard by whatever way, but why make it slower? Because at the end of the day, that's all it is. It's authentication of I am who I say I am with this card. This card links me. What else can that chip have in it?
More than one way.
GPS.
Great question.
I don't know that it has anything in it, honestly. I've never gone up to it with any kind of like RF measuring device to see if it's, you know, what it's putting off. But what do you got on it?
Well, it's emitting a radio frequency.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
I mean, something definitely activates when you hook it up to the power source inside the machine, so something going on. It's not just a swipe and go anymore. It's to register where you are and
yeah, it's inputting your location.
Well, yeah. I mean, the same thing can be done with magnetic stripe, really. I mean, whenever you stick it into that machine then has your whatever your identification number is.
All the CIA needs is a program to pull where you're using your card at.
My understanding of those chips is they're like the digital version of the magnetic stripe. The magnetic stripe you can think of as analog because it reads the magnetics coming off of it. Like it goes past
right,
the
but why fix what's not broken?
Why fix what's not broken? I mean, that's a good point. But why move from cassette tape to CD?
Yeah, but you thought cassette tape to CD, you could see the benefits in
that.
No,
that's true. It's fidelity. Where's the benefit? It's a good point. I'm with you. Let's keep going down this rabbit hole.
Well, where is the benefit in them chips?
Maybe they don't wear out like the magnetic stripes used to. Like you do them so many times, they get wore out in your wallet, and they don't slide anymore.
Yeah, but don't you have to? Isn't it cost-effective to put a chip in, though?
Those chips don't cost nothing. They print those chips, basically.
You think so?
Metal printers, yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're pretty inexpensive. But yeah. Your magnetic strip is still there, so the card with the chip automatically costs more than what it would cost without the chip.
Again?
Because they could still print them without them and save the money on that.
The guy in the chat, Mike Bube, he says, the chip generates a unique transaction code to make fraud harder, and it cannot be used to track you from a distance. It's an unpowered passive device.
Exactly my thought, too. It's just a coil that whenever you – it's just like when the magnetics where they use a passive, like, field to read the data. That's pretty much how that chip, quote-unquote, works.
I don't know.
Powered by
– I don't have one in mind.
You know how Tesla did the electric – or the wireless
electricity? I mean, that could be the surface answer.
That could be the service answer. That could be the way they want us to think about it.
I like it.
How deep down this hole do you go? What do you think they're doing? Just theorize. Hypothesize.
I just think it's the whole how, you know, Facebook tailors ads to things that you Google search. I think it has nothing to do with I swipe my card at Chick-fil-A and I swipe my card at the grocery store or what have you. And then, you know, there's profiles built on me behind my back. On places I go on a regular basis, on things that I do. I understand
now, that would be fucked up if you bought something at Chick-fil-A.
The same way, but,
and then when you got home, there was a Chick-fil-A ad on your Facebook. Now, that would be fucked up.
I mean, that's only around the corner.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. But let me ask you this. Why can't they do that again with the magnetic strip? If it's going into their servers and it shows either, it doesn't matter how it was slid into their system, be it magnetic stripe or the chip, it's you were just
yeah, definitely the exact same. It's the exact same idea. I'm not sure, man. I just always thought there was something up for it. And then on the other side of things, where it always asks you if you want money back, I always thought that was like a.
That's the same thing as the casinos not wanting you to leave the door. They want you to spend your money either which way. They want you, if it's a credit card, they want you to take out that $20 so they can get their 20 cents of interest over the course of time. And if they do that 20 million times, they got 20 million 20 cents. So, I mean, that's good business, in my opinion. If I ran a credit card company, I'd do everything I could to get people to take money out of their accounts. But I'm a chauffeur.
Very true.
Indeed.
But that was all I had, fellas. I mean, I wanted to brainstorm a little bit more on it. I'm still, like, developing my little
I dig it. I dig it. I mean, If it was anything other than RF, I actually, just when I was saying that, I came up with a whole thing, like the whole thing went through my head in a flash, like before you die and you get your whole life. I have a wallet, and I'm actually using it right now, that is built to not allow people to scan your RFID from a distance. So, like, come up next to you and use, like, a scanner and just pull all of your RFID information from your all of your cards right out of your wallet. My wallet actually supposedly has the, I guess, what it takes to block that.
So now because
so maybe they did it just to sell wallets.
A chip in my pocket. I need to go buy a new wallet.
Yeah, maybe they did it just to sell
wallets.
Because
now my credit card has a chip on it.
But the flash or the side thing to that is where I work at, we have a in and out system for the locks that is a little RFID chip that's on my keychain. I just stick it up to it. It slides or lets me in.
Yeah.
I put that inside of my wallet and hit my wallet on the reader and it let me right in. So I'm calling shenanigans on that wallet.
Really?
Yeah. I'll show you right after we get with the show today. We'll walk over to the thing. I'll put my little chip inside my wallet and it'll let us right in the door.
And it's supposed to not let our
$75 wallet.
Oh, they fucking seen you coming.
Seen me coming. Big time. Got like, that for Christmas. April bought it for me. I think she probably got it on sale for like $30 or whatever, but it's like a $75 wallet for Christmas. It's pretty cool. It's leather. It's a nice wallet, notwithstanding. But the little catch is it's keep your RFID information in your pocket. Fail.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's pretty cool. All right, Ian. Well, thanks for calling in. Whenever you get this developed a little bit more, we'd love to have you back and talk about it again.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I'm looking forward to developing a little more, see what kind of crazy things we can all come up with.
If you want, bounce it off the people in the group, man. We got all the kind of right minds to extrapolate and go further down that rabbit hole in there.
Right. There's.
Yeah, I try my best to hop on that Facebook page as much as I when I have some free time.
Yep, dig it.
All
right,
Ian. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Later. Take it easy.
Later. All right, we actually have one more caller. I just got an email. They want to call and be anonymous. They like the idea of the anonymous.
Yeah, which they got the idea earlier from the chat.
From Ramrod. We'll get him on eventually. Let me see here. I'm still working out the details to get the number.
I mean, that's the way to go, though, you know, anonymous. That's probably what this guy was saying. He's like, I can call anonymous.
You think it's from anonymous? The guy is in anonymous?
Oh, I don't think so. I think
we are watching your show. We have a message we like to put
we
out.
We really like
doing it on our official.
Can you guys give us a shout out? We're anonymous.
Next thing you know, all the lights go down. Zoop. They shut us down. Fuck it.
I don't even have a name that we're going to use for this. I have a real name, but I'm not giving it out. I'm not giving out my sources. But here we go. I'm going to put the number in. We're going to call. See what happens. Hope this is the right number. Yes, it is. Okay. Should have a ring any second.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not. Oh, there it is.
Ring-a-ding-ding-ding.
Hello?
Hello, this is Eric and Everett from Surreal Talk, Mr. Anonymous caller who we don't know your name. What is your name today, Mr. Anonymous?
I want to call him Anon.
Anon?
You can just refer to me as Anonymous.
That's fine.
I like it. It's just, did you get that from the chat earlier where the other guy was wanting to do that? Because, yeah, that was a good idea, I think.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good.
Dig it. All right, what do you want to talk about there, Mr. Anonymous?
Okay, so I'm going to tell a story about a person I know.
Sure.
And try to keep any personal identifying characteristics out of the story as much as I can.
Dig it. Very much here.
If I realize that I have messed it up, then I'm simply just going to hang up and go from there.
Yeah, don't, if at any point you fuck up, just hang up. We'll be like, okay, we know what happened there. No, and we will hold no ill will. So lay it on us, man. We want to hear the story of your friend.
Okay, so I have a very close, longtime friend that is in the military.
Right.
I should say was in the military. I'm not going to list a specific branch of service.
That's probably smart. Keep it anonymous. We like that. That's the theme of this call.
But so he was deployed in Afghanistan, and he was blown up by friendly fire.
Ooh, fuck.
From another service.
Bummer. Like what? Like a grenade or something?
No, like a 2,000-pound bomb from a jet.
Like drop bomb, okay, ordnance, gotcha.
Son of a bitch.
How close did it go off?
It was 10 meters away from him and his other soldiers.
All right. All right. Go on.
So what I find the most interesting about his story is the backstory that kind of leads up to it. So he's just like myself, big into conspiracy theories and everything else. And apparently he was talking about these theories on his operating base where this event took place from.
Oh. So
at first it was just the, I guess, the typical, you know, oh, you're crazy type talk.
Yeah, you'll get
soldiers
that.
Would question, you know. And people ended up starting to listen to what he was saying. And he really put an emphasis on 9/11 being his biggest discussion point.
Smart man.
So the way he tells it, they'd go out on guard duty. He would be telling the story to his soldiers. Guard duty ends. They'd come back for the next shift, and his soldiers would be excited to hear more, like, all right, where did we leave off? You know, those type of conversations.
Sure.
So they were at an operating base that had already been named after a friendly fire incident, which is also pretty ironic given the circumstance.
Right.
So he talked about 9/11, big into conspiracy theories, and then on 9/11, they get in a firefight with an enemy threat about 700-800 meters or yards away, whichever you prefer.
Yards.
And so he was the NCO in charge,
non-commissioned in charge.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Up at an outpost, not at the operating base itself, but an outpost. And the way he tells it, they had gotten to a firefight, and literally 30 seconds later, he gets a radio transmission that a bomb will be dropped on that enemy position.
So get the fuck out, more or less, is what they're saying?
He don't have to get the fuck out. It's like 800 meters away.
It's like 800 meters away. So this is where it gets really crazy. So they are 30 seconds into a firefight. They are out in the middle of nowhere. If you consider the airspace and the time of flight, it would have taken way longer to get an aircraft out there anyways.
So
they are 30 seconds. Yeah, they're 30 seconds into a firefight. The enemy is 800 yards away, and they are being told that weapons away, 30 seconds, and to get small. So how he explains it is they all laughed. They pulled out their cameras ready to watch this bomb get dropped. Like, yeah, we'll get small. You know, like, we'll get small. There's no way this is going to mess us up. It's freaking 800 meters away. And considering the fact that it was, like, two enemy personnel and we're using this 2,000-pound bomb that just happens to be weapon or within the airspace, it just... to him seemed like overkill, but they were all pumped and they're going to record it. And so he says that he could hear the aircraft come screaming in, and next thing you know, their position had gotten blown up. But this is his biggest argument, is everything is done off from a grid reference. So if you're at an outpost that gets in a firefight constantly and call in for support, then whoever is supporting would recognize that digit. So the biggest argument for the case was that the grids had gotten flip-flopped, but anybody would have realized that number just like they do when they recognize a phone number.
Right.
So somebody would have been like, oh, we need to flip-flop those. So essentially, the bomb was dropped, and they were all blown up and had to get
pushed down to the operating base and then ultimately medevaced from Afghanistan.
Were there casualties?
Yeah, they ended up coming back to the States. Well, one in particular came back to the States.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. 800 meals, meters is a half mile for us Imperial dogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's plenty of space for any kind of normal, you know, even a big-ass fucking bomb.
That's a long way, dude, half mile's a long way.
Yeah, you should be pretty safe. And, okay, so was this a daytime or nighttime op, do you know?
This was during daytime, and you got to think, in Afghanistan, it's not just the distance, it's the elevation.
Right, there's elevations, true.
We're dealing with multiple terrain features in between the point of impact.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a difference too. If you when you drop a bomb out of your plane, if you think you're dropping onto a flat area, it's got forward motion, so it's coming down at an angle. But if you've got terrain, it might hit something that's kind of jutted up that you didn't think about,
right?
And blow up ahead of time because something was higher.
Or vice versa, in a valley, go further than you think because of the
slope. Good point. But you'd think that they're professional fucking bombers would have that down pat.
That's what he's getting at,
they could shoot a mortar up a guy's
right?
ass from fucking miles away. We could stick a nuke up.
Are you not listening to the dude's story?
I am. Sorry.
The dude's story. The guy was talking about 9/11, and then all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? I mean, are you not listening to the dude's story?
I am. I guess I'm not drawing all the conclusions.
Oh, okay. I'm
kind of jumping around a little bit just because I'm winging it here. I'm not trying to give out too much.
Right, right.
I dig.
So,
don't mind my friend. He has no frame of reference here.
So let me just touch on the aircraft a little bit more just so you can kind of understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn here.
What goes on. So from what he says is it's a laser-guided bomb. It drops where it is supposed to drop. Based off from our crazy technology that we have nowadays.
Yeah, you paint the target. Yeah, somebody stands across the way, shoots a laser at it, and the computer system on board the airplane sees that target, and the smart bomb goes right at it, basically. Long story short, right?
Essentially, but nobody's lasing it, like, done inside, like, a control center.
Right, like, somebody on the ground, like, right?
Yeah, like sending a text to a cell phone. So they get the call, they scramble aircraft, hey, it's going to go right there where they want it to go.
So you're alleging that they knew the guys were in the area. They had the planes ready because they knew they'd probably be dropping a bomb there, not due to the fact that it had anything to do with any kind of insurgents or hostiles, but that this group that they were sending in, they knew they were sending them in here. Doesn't matter if there's hostiles or not, and they're going to take them out. From on high, that was their plan. They kind of marched them out into the shit with the express intention to blow them up.
Like, based off from how he tells it, you're almost there. However, I'm going to recap a little bit.
Do it.
So he talks about conspiracy theories. All the soldiers on the FOB listens to his theories. His main theory is on 9/11.
He can't, they can't have him around.
On September 11th, he gets in a firefight. Not even in a firefight for 30 seconds, and you already have an aircraft in the airspace right where they are at, and they drop this bomb. The problem is the bomb hits where they are at. They being my buddy that is the huge conspiracy theorist, along with his soldiers. And you got to think about the amount of ammunition that was trying to be used. 2,000 bombs or 2,000 pounds for two personnel. It's extreme overkill in any way that you look at it. So what he thinks is it was absolutely not an accident, and it was intended to happen exactly that way, because any experienced pilot, especially given that area, would have recognized that the locations had gotten flip-flopped. If that was the case, aside from that, he was the sergeant in charge, and he never called for any air support. They just magically were there.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That sounds like some CIA type shit.
So to call in for air support, the sergeant or the commanding officer has to call that in, right? That you can't just do that like...
Well, they don't just do it like, hey, we were thinking we were in the area, we're going to send some air support. That's not generally how that happens. You don't just willy-nilly throw away thousands and thousands of dollar bombs.
Right, right.
So whoever would need the support would call that in and get a request, and typically it's going to be some time before it happens anyway.
Right.
So it is a process, but I guess that day it was just an extremely fast process.
I mean, if we're to believe the coincidence of the situation, you got to believe that it was just everything worked out that day, and it just so happens that the guy had an accident on that day with the way he was aiming. The computer math was off. The wind changed. Whatever happened, half mile of wind change, that's pretty bad. You would have had to been dropping that from like 80,000 feet up.
The bomber was a flat earth believer and didn't believe in the Coriolis effect.
That's what it was. He was a flat earther. How high up do they drop those bombs, the munitions from generally?
Who would know that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Half mile maybe, you figure? Can't be too high.
I don't know. Never been in a battlefield before.
I would think because of the elevation that they're in, they probably can't fly all that high and still get an accurate drop target. So right. I feel like they would probably be a little bit lower, and especially since he said he heard it come screaming in. You know, there's a difference between hearing an aircraft overhead and then hearing an aircraft at your head.
Yeah, that makes sense, because like you ever been to an air show, you know what one sounds like whenever they're 200 foot ahead above you as opposed to 2,000 foot above you.
Right.
Where you can barely hear him versus like I can't hear anything else.
Yeah.
So
he got evac from Afghanistan, and he was instantly silenced. But before he left Afghanistan, he went to all the soldiers and gave those copies of the video that they all took when the bird was coming to watch it drop. He passed them all along because he knew what was next. He told all the soldiers, hey, take this video, hide it in your porn, hide it in your music, wherever you got to hide it.
A hidden folder on the desktop, and then deep into another folder, Yeah, another routine, right. If I was to guess.
I guess he told them, hey, they're going to come and try to grab up this stuff. So he ends up getting evac'd, and later on his soldiers tell him that as soon as he left, the higher-ups came in and said, you know, nobody say nothing about this, you know, delete all your videos, etc.
Holy shit, right, man.
You know what this sounds like, right, exactly off, like? This sounds exactly like the movie A Few Good Men.
No, that's not it at all.
No, think about it. It's a cover up. They ordered an off the books what do you call it whenever you punish someone? Off the books punishment. Like they give the kid a code red and
right.
Where they beat the shit out of him and they end up killing him and that. Well, this time they're like, fuck it, we're not going to send people to give him a blanket party. We're just going to drop a big ass bomb on his head.
Yeah, but then think about the implications about here, though, man. If talking about 9/11 and being military personnel and talking about 9/11 means a death sentence, come the fuck on, man. That's not okay at all. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. That's the implications here. That's the end game of this. That means our government is actively killing people that work for them that talk about 9/11.
Well, not our government. Or agents within the government.
Agents within the government. You know, I shouldn't say our government. I know. That. Right.
I'm gonna interrupt right there before it gets too crazy. All right, this is just his thought process based off from the circumstance. He's not in any way implying that it happened.
Right. No, I hear you.
It's so, the odds are not impossible, but very low that it happened completely by coincidence is what his theory is.
Whoa! Did you see that bug on my face? That was weird.
Yeah. He doesn't think it's a coincidence. Real quick to hit on one of the chats. DPS Entertainment. He said this dude's buddy could know some stuff, and they wanted to silence him while he was still in the service. But my buddy is a straight up freaking nothing special, like no special job, anything.
He's just a grunt.
He's just a grunt. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I don't want to take up too much time. So he gets back to the States, and nobody wants to
to even acknowledge what had happened. He's asking for, you know, an investigation. He's trying to see, you know, what's going on. Well, recovering first, he was like, he had traumatic brain injury, a whole bunch of stuff. So he recovered, went back to his unit, and he's trying to figure out what's going on, and nobody, I guess, would say anything. And so later on, I guess he got all of his belongings in the mail, shipped back to him, and his computer was completely melted, like straight up melted his computer, put it back in a box, and mailed it to him.
Like they just tossed it in the oven for an hour on 350 and sent it back.
Yes, I guess something similar to that. But
did you see the laptop yourself?
Oh yeah, you can definitely see it is a deliberate attempt to freaking damage that laptop.
Weird.
So Mike Boob says, "Wait, they target
it's Boob. Mike Boob. He's trying to make a joke. It's Booby."
Okay. So they target a soldier talking to a couple dozen of guys. Meanwhile, there are how many international broadcast podcasts, radio shows, YouTube videos makers walking around?
What's he getting at there saying? Why would they try that?
Yeah, he's saying that he doesn't believe this. Well, I'm saying that those people don't work for them. A podcast, YouTube makers, they don't work for the Army or the Marines or the Air Force or wherever this guy was in duty in. They don't work for that.
So many years of counterintelligence telling you that all these whistleblowers are full of shit working behind them as well, too.
That's also if you're implying that it was because of the conspiracy theories, but we all know that our government does some fucked up stuff just to reach a different agenda. So maybe they wanted something to happen up there that would change something in their current location, if that makes sense.
Sure does.
Kind of like, just like we do a false flag for Sandy Hook. Well, maybe something was supposed to happen up there to change the outcome of something in the region or whatever the case.
Yeah, we'll never know if there was plans that changed last minute or whatever. I mean, we'll never know. Our pay grade is too low.
So anyways, he's trying to get the investigation, trying to figure out what's going on. Eventually, everybody else comes back from deployment. They had finished the deployment and everybody came back. And they were, he started asking around, or he heard that the investigation had gotten finished. And I guess somebody had told him that the investigation was finished. My buddy's like, awesome, I want to see it. And he's like, no, you don't want to see it. And he's like, yeah, I do. And he's like, no, it's all bullshit. And my buddy's like, I know. That's why I want to see it. So he went up to his higher or his leaders, and he's like, I want to see the investigation. And he was told, well, we don't have one because we burnt it out at the operating base.
They burnt the report? Much, that's weird.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they had burnt the final investigation. I'm sure it's still available somewhere. He doesn't know how to get a hold of it or anything else. But so apparently nothing in the investigation matched anything about the area that they were in, like the distance from the observation post to the base, the elevation, literally nothing. The investigation said that it was a 500-pound bomb instead of a 2,000 and et cetera. And also it was blamed on pilot error. They blamed it on pilot error instead of...
That's the easiest way to do it.
Instead of saying, like, oh, you know, they messed up, they flip-flopped the grids, instead they blamed it on this pilot that, you know, who knows, probably felt freaking horrible. He was just out carrying a job and dropped it where he was told to drop it. And next thing you know, like, his career is done and he's under investigation or whatever.
Yeah, you probably can't drop too many fucked up bombs and let them think they're going to do it some more.
So let me stop you right there. People in the chat are kind of going a little nuts about this. And they're like going, okay, so it just seems like a lot of risk to silence someone who doesn't have a lot of reach. Well, my counterpoint to that would be that person does have a lot of reach because it could cause the troops to rebel.
It's called rebel rousing is what it is.
Okay, or even have resentment, lowering morale, which in a war situation, you can't have that.
Right.
And then this other
dissension
guy,
in the ranks.
This other person says, why send back the laptop? It looks way more suspect than losing it. Now, what I have to say to that is, it's to send a message. This whole entire situation was to send a message. That's why sending the laptop back burnt up and not just losing it.
A message to all troops, basically. Shut your fucking mouth.
Whether it's to these people, that guy, this, or whoever knows about it, there's a message being sent there. And it's like, don't fucking do this, because
it's not quite as overt as Hadley and Shawshank Redemption. The fucker's going to
Hadley busted his head good.
No, he's getting ready to have himself an accident and throw him off the roof.
Yeah, not quite that.
But what they're saying is, yeah, keep up your talking, because you'll have yourself an accident. There'll be a misplaced bomb coming right up your ass.
So
that's the subtext.
Once again, I just want to clarify. All right, these are the stuff that I'm told. He's not saying that that he had like been so he got his soldiers to follow so much into conspiracy that they became, you know, anarchists or anti-government or whatever. It's just talk amongst like guard duties, just like you would. Listen to this podcast, you know, something similar to that.
Right.
He's not implying that like all conspiracies, you know, we just don't know, but they make us think. And that's why we like to talk about them. So he's not implying that, that it was a direct action against him. He's just looking at all the things lining up and saying, holy crap, maybe this isn't a coincidence. So I'm going to go just a little bit further, and then I'm done. I know I've been talking for forever.
You're good.
So, like a year and a half goes by, right? He got medevacs from Afghanistan. He didn't get the investigation. His whole battalion didn't even acknowledge that he existed anymore, etc.
He was ostracized. He was blackballed then, huh?
Exactly. Everybody was told not to say shit about it, etc. So he ends up going to a different duty station just to end up getting a phone call later saying that the incident was leaked onto the internet and was going viral.
I kind of want to try to find it now.
It did go viral? It was leaked?
It was leaked.
Post that a video if you can find a link to it in the group. But then,
you know,
then it might give away who you are. So don't do that.
I feel like I can take context clues and find it.
I don't know how many similar videos there are of similar situations. I imagine there is some, like, conspiracy or not, friendly fire happens, you know, sometimes, but I don't want to, if there's like any unit information or anything like that, I'm not trying to get him,
right,
you know, screwed in any way, shape or form. But,
what kind of friend are you trying to keep your friend from being screwed? I'm just making a dumb joke.
So ultimately, so he tracks down the video. He sees it. It's covered by some mainstream, not necessarily mainstream, but like online media sources. And so what they did is they tracked down some of these soldiers that weren't part of the incident, some leaders that weren't part of the incident, but were there when it happened. So essentially, In the news story, for the people that they talked to, they completely changed the story to make everybody else out to be a hero besides the person that was in charge of the outpost. Again, once again, the media source said, "Oh, it was a 500-pound bomb." They said that the first sergeant was the one that made all the call prior to that engagement happening against the soldiers versus the enemy. There was a rocket launched, and my buddy had all of his soldiers up on the observation post to go man the weapons because he thought that something was going to happen. And sure as shit, it did. But, so in the story, they make the leadership out to be the ones that had told everybody to get up and get behind weapons instead of, you know, portraying it like it actually happened. So we have an incorrect investigation that is not only incorrect, but is destroyed, and then you have false media stories along with all the other evidence. So that's essentially
the classic hallmarks of a fuck up and a cover up, and even an actual direct attack on, you know, on a United States military man. Whether or not it actually went down that way, I mean, we'll never know. But it sounds like it's a possibility.
Dude, I feel like that story could just be legit as fuck. Honestly, I do. I seriously do. Because I don't put it past anything that
I could believe that all the facts that Anon told us from his buddy who was over there are exactly as he says. We'll just never know exactly what the intentions, or if there were intentions. And that's where so many questions we could ask.
Gosh, I just want to see the video. You know?
But at the same time, it would not surprise me that our government tried to shut down a dissenter.
No, that's the thing. I mean, there's a war on people like that.
Yeah.
Well, he constantly tells me that he still debates that. I mean, he talks about it and everything else. He still debates it himself. You know, is this because he's conspiratorial? Is this all in his head that he fabricated this story or whatever? You know, to maybe he's just programmed to think that way, or is he thinking that way because it's his gut feeling that something was off? So. Like I said, he's never going to know. Probably none of his people that were up there are going to know. It's just one of those things that's a shitty thing that happened, and it got swept under the rug, and he's part of a military cover-up.
Possibly.
So, I guess in any way that you want to look at it, whether it was
something's getting covered up, I guess, yeah. Whether it was a fuck-up and a bomb drop or whatever, yeah.
Right. So, all right. So that's essentially my story.
Thanks for sharing, Anon. That's a pretty good. That's a pretty good thing right there, man. And your buddy swears up and down by this, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
But that being said, I just want you you guys and all your viewers to know that this is a completely fabricated story.
For the purpose of I got you.
There is there's no identifying information within it, and this was a story that I had written for a school project.
Sure. This is just something we made up to talk about for the purpose of the show. None of this actually happened. Wink. So just
hope everybody enjoyed it, and
thanks for calling Anon. How do you spell that, Anon? Is that with an A-N-O-N?
Okay. A-N-O-N.
Sure, just wanted to credit that right later.
His mom hated him, Anon. Called him Anon.
Well, it's because it's where he's really from. That's a really popular name where he's from.
Oh, I wouldn't know what country that'd be.
Yeah, me either. I don't want to give any more identification out. Now you can Google what country is Anon popular in and probably figure the whole thing out. Anyway.
I don't think there'll be much to find anyways, considering it's false. So it'll be all right.
If any way we can find that video, or you can get that to us, or anybody in the group or anybody listening on the podcast can find a copy of that video, I'd like to see it. Put it in the group. Send it to me, info@SerialTalkPodcast. I don't care. We'll make sure it gets seen. So, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, Anon. We'll catch you next time, and maybe we will see you in the group. We won't know.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right, man. Take it easy.
And there's a reason, I can tell you that.
What's that? You could find it? Eric says he could find it. He's written this on a piece of paper
you can't find something that's false.
What? What do you mean?
You know what I mean?
You're saying you can't find it?
Yeah, because he made that up.
Oh, that's right. I got you. You can't find it if it didn't really happen.
Right.
So if there's a video of this thing that didn't really happen, we'd like to see it. Yeah. Anyway, so what'd you think of today's show? It was pretty fun. We went all over the place again.
We sure did.
Good time talking to everybody. Any final closing thoughts for people? I know next week, like we said, we're doing Hollywood deaths, weird Hollywood deaths. I don't know. I don't think we'll focus too much on the music side, so we're not going to talk too much about Biggie and Tupac, which will likely get its own show. I don't care about that subject, but everybody does.
Everybody does, except Everett.
It just seems like, who gives two fucks about these guys who their entire life before they got killed was in violence anyway? How big of a surprise is it they eventually get gunned down and we don't know who did it? Well, like every other drive-by that happens in the inner city, we don't find out who did it. There's the whole story, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I don't know. We'll talk about that another time. Next week, though, we're going to dive deep into some weird Hollywood deaths and see where that takes us. We're going to have Armand back on the show. Ought to be a good time. Thank you, everybody out there on the chat, for joining us on the show today.
We definitely appreciate it. It was a lively discussion today.
So what show is this, and where are we from? Like, you know, the group.
Oh, well, this is Surreal Talk, but you should go to the website, www.surrealtalkpodcast, vote in the poll, Team Eric. We have an Audible page, not an Audible page. We have a Patreon account, which is?
Patreon.com/Surreal Talk.
Yeah, and that just kind of helps us.
If you don't know what Patreon is, it's basically volunteer subscription to our show. You give us every money a month for whatever reason. You can give us $5, you can give us $1, you can give us $100. It doesn't matter, but whatever you give goes to us.
Yeah, goes to us.
Not that we've ever actually taken anything out yet that we've gotten.
Yeah, we still don't have enough to take out. So
one of these days, that's our constant
problem. That's a YouTube thing, too. We don't have enough money to take out.
Yeah, oh, well. That's kind of cool, though. We appreciate everybody who's a Patreon supporter.
Thanks to all of our callers today. We had Anon, Ian, the Witching Hour Dude.
Thomas, and our Anon.
I said Anon, and Thomas. Who's the first one?
God, dude, we've had so many days. Let me look at my list here.
Yeah. Yeah, join the Facebook group. Thanks, Scott.
Jason didn't call in today, but I need to talk to him. I don't know who we called first. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Thanks, everybody.
It was a good show, though. I mean, it wasn't bad. So, yeah, we appreciate y'all.
Thanks again. We'll catch you all next week. This has been Surreal Talk, a Lineup Media Group or lineupmedia.fm podcast. I know.
God,
I
suck.
They usually do that. So.
You suck. All right, catch you all next week. FM production.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.